Hanging out with love, hanging out with love, hanging out with love, hanging out with love.
Peace and love, ladies and gents. This is Love from the platform Hanging Out with Love, and I'm your confidence coach. And I have a very special guest here today. She's also one of my closest friends. And I'm just super excited. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
My name is Mira. I met Love in grad school where we both got our master's in social work. And since we met in school, been kind of stuck on you since.
Period.
Still stuck.
I love it. See, she does things like that to stroke my ego, y'all. And it works every time. But I love it. So thank you so much for introducing yourself.
Of course.
As usual, I did mention that for the month of October and November, we will be discussing character traits. And so each person that I have up here is going to be doing a different one, and they're choosing one that they feel like best describes them. So today, Mira chose compassion. And it's crazy because while she was looking at the list, I already knew that that was going to be one of the options. She's definitely a very compassionate and empathetic individual. So without further ado, I would like you to define what compassion means to you.
Well, thank you, first of all. You already knew that. Compassionate. What comes to my mind with compassion is selflessness, a very giving nature. Because with compassion, I'm trying to figure out how I'm gonna say it. Compassion is an inward out thing, like that comes from inside. So It's when I say giving nature, that's something that you're providing for others, and it's a very tender, I want to say, product. For lack of a better term, It's something that takes delicacy to handle. So I think of compassion as a very delicate word for a giving nature, where you're expressing selflessness to the energies around you.
That's good. I like that, selfless. I think a lot of people, they don't even know how to take that word for real. Like, When people hear selfless, they automatically feel like, oh, people are going to be taking advantage of me. But it's like, selfless doesn't mean that you can't have boundaries.
Exactly. Yeah, you're right. I think with that, just with the word compassion, when I see the word in my head, it just feels warm. It gives me a warm feeling over my body, because with selflessness, it's woven into love. Because you can't be selfless without love. Well, you can't be anything without love, for real.
No pun intended. So, no, I completely agree with that. But people have difficulty with the word love, too. Like, have you ever heard someone say, like, love doesn't exist, or I don't believe in love? Like, I think you have to be a very scarred individual to say something like that. Like, I don't believe in love, or love doesn't exist. And I can honestly say I've never felt that way. Even in like my darkest moments, where I felt like, you know what, I'm about to turn it up on these men. Like, they play too much. I gotta boss up, get smarter. But I never once questioned whether love existed. I just felt like the type of love that I was giving and receiving at the time was what I needed in that moment, but it wasn't fitting for the woman who I was becoming. And I was okay with, you know, acknowledging that. But I think that, yeah, a lot of people have difficulty with that word love. They don't know how to express it. And so a lot of times when people get that word, like compassion, they mix it up with loyalty, like feeling like, okay, well, if I express this type of love, then it has to be undying loyalty to match that. and that leaves room for you to be damaged. But instead, they take the damage as, oh, well, love does this to you, and really it's the lack of boundaries.
You had so many thoughts running through my head while you were speaking, but no, you're absolutely right. Love, the way that we define love is deeply and majorly influenced with how we were brought up. The environment that you were reared in literally defines love for you, because the way that your parents, or excuse me, any guardians that you had in your life, the way that you felt with the people closest to you that were most responsible in helping you grow, is where you learn love from. So all these problems with love, that's where you said something earlier, how you knew love is this, but it's not the love you knew you needed into who you were becoming. And that's just part of the growth process, where we're unlearning the environment that we grew up in and everything that comes with it, and creating the one that we want. So a lot of people, that comes from a vulnerable spot. You have to be, people think you have to be hard to do some things, but you have to be very gentle to really touch those sensitive spots inside you, so that you can address what needs to be fixed and open up to where you want to be.
Girl, that sounds deep. Like healing.
Hello.
Yeah, it really does. So tell me this, when you look at people who have difficulty expressing compassion or being able to be selfless, where do you think that comes from?
The difficulty with compassion comes from people's walls being up, their guard. Because in order to be selfless, you have to know what it feels like to be loved. Or you got to know what it feels like to be loved in order to give it. And that isn't based on how someone else expresses their love to you. It's about how you receive the message of love. So that's just saying, if you bring me flowers and that's you telling me that you love me, but the way to tell me that you love me, I've always known it to be what you cleaning my car for me or something like that. Like doing something, just an act of service rather than a gift. If I don't understand how to receive someone's expression from a gift, then I don't know how to touch other people in multiple ways. If you don't know how to receive it in multiple ways. And a lot of that selflessness comes with being very open. Because there's not one way of doing things, you know? I'm putting all this ties together because my mind is racing while I'm talking.
No, it does. It does. And you're right. I mean, to those love languages, that person does receive it differently. Like, I know for me, okay, you may take me out to dinner or, you know, do something that you feel like I may like. But if you're not giving me something that I like, it's like, okay, well, I didn't ask for this, sir. And I'm very clear about what I desire in that moment. You get what I'm saying? So there are times where it's like, no, babe, I do want to go out to dinner. Or, no, mom, I do want to, you know, stay at home and, like, cook for the family or whatever. But I feel like sometimes people don't listen to those things. They want to love you how they want to love you. And that is not selfless to me. But in their head, that's what they're doing. And it's crazy because I was listening to someone the other day. I think his name is Stefan, but he is like the relationship guru with the locks. I can't remember his last name. But he was talking about how, you know, your man may say, well, all I want for my birthday is a bottle of liquor and some pizza, and I want to just chill with you and have sex and watch TV. You get what I'm saying? And that's all he says. And then he was like, but you take that and you say, oh, all he wanted was a bottle and some pizza and to have sex. I'm going to give him some cologne. And that was so funny. Like, it's like, no.
When you say it like that, though. That makes sense. And that, everything we're just saying comes to one of my favorite things to talk about, which is communication. Oh, my gosh. That is the underlying thing. Which circles back to your original question with why some people may have trouble with compassion is communication. And I think of communication in all aspects, because when I of course, it's easy to think about verbal communication, but just like you said, love languages or body languages or just the way you interact with others, just all those communication styles, mm-hmm. you just have to be able to be versatile and touch on many ones that you don't know, that you do know, that you don't like. Mm-hmm. All of that comes with just being able to adapt not only to your environment, but the other people in your environment as
Facts.
Well. Because it's all connected.
It's all connected. Right. No, literally. And it's like, when you say love languages that you don't like, it's like ones that you don't like expressing too. Mm-hmm. Because, like, I'll be honest, for me, I do like my friends, I like buying gifts. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't mind, like, you know, if I come over, I may bring something, you know, bring wine or mm-hmm. a cake or anything. Like, I'm always trying to add to my environment. But when it comes mm-hmm. to a man, I just don't like buying stuff for men. I was not brought up that way.
Right.
The men in my family, like, girl, bringing them a gift is like World War III. Like, what are you doing? Take this back. I BS you not. I actually recorded this. It was my grandfather for Father's Day. Really?
Yes.
Girl, Father's Day, we took him to, I think it was Kohl's or something. But it was one of those little shopping centers out mm-hmm. here. And we took him there, and he looked at the belts. He felt like they were too expensive. I wanted to get him a dress shirt. Like, he got, like, two shirts, and that was it. Like, he did not want anything else. He was like, let's go. And demanded that we leave. So, if I come from that, it's mm-hmm. like, of course I'm not going to be able to.
Right.
Like, a man telling me that, like, oh, well, why don't you buy me this? It's like, what the fuck did you say? Like, excuse my language, but literally, like, that's how I feel. Like, how dare you ask me for some money or a freaking gift? You must be out of your mind. And I knew this was an issue for me when I found myself having friends who, like, they were, like, struggling financially, mm-hmm. but they have a man in their house. And how my family operates, like, if I have a boyfriend, they will not give me money.
Mm-hmm.
So, with them, they're like, oh, yeah, girl, da-da-da-da-da happened with the rent. And I'm like, well, your boyfriend, is he not working or something? Like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like, where's your man? So, I don't know. You're totally right. Like, the way you're brought up, that definitely matters. I know my parents thoroughly spoiled me. Like, gifts is just how I knew to, like, this person cares about me.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom, she'll even tell you, like, they used to pride themselves on being a provider. Like, I take mm-hmm. good care of my kids. I do this, I do that. So it's like, oh, yeah, if you love me, yeah. this is the way you show it. But I thank God that I also had a family that had morals and integrity. Because had I not had the best of both worlds, I think I would be a person where I could just be bought. That person didn't have to have any type of character.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying? So, and there are people like that. Like, the money is it. They can be treated any type of way. Mm-hmm. And with me, it's like, if I'm uncomfortable in this space, like, I'm not going to stay here and put up with that just so you can support me.
Mm-hmm. That, while we were talking about, I think one thing that came to my mind to encompass everything that we just discussed in regards to compassion, I saw a post on Instagram, and it's some page I follow where it's talking about just, like, how I mentioned before, unlearning the environment and, like, the stuff we knew from our parents and learning better ways to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So this post in particular said, it was noting the fact that it triggered some people when their parents say, I love you, they thought they were in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, because they didn't hear that on a consistent basis, they only heard that maybe they were getting set up or something, or something negative was following.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even understand, like, the value that I love you holds in a general, like, just society manner. So, you know, that has the communication tied into it,
mm-hmm.
the love tied into it, which essentially comes into compassion. So these people that are struggling with compassion or that do know passion, you know, they have parents that probably more so often told them that they loved them, and they had positive acts following behind it, which would help you define compassion as you grow up.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, like, that just came to my mind, and especially as you were speaking, I was just like, light bulb.
Mm-hmm.
That just tied it all together for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I hear, girl, guys and accepting gifts, like, it's the hardest thing. Oh, that goes back to communication too. When it's just like, even coming to express your love to him, it's like you're teaching him how to accept it too, or just everything that we've done already talked about. Just how you were saying your guys, or excuse me, the males in your family weren't used to getting things. And it's like, while you're trying to show you love them, you're trying to help them realize that, hey, I'm here loving you. Notice me. Receive my love.
Right. And I know, like, with that particular situation, I mean, we typically would do something like take him out to dinner, which we did. We took him out to eat, and stuff like that. So his is more like quality time.
I can resonate with that one.
Yeah, like they like to spend time with you, but when we want to, you know, drop a little money, it's like, nah, I don't want that. So I have to learn just to be respectful of that, because I don't want to push them out of their comfort zone either. My uncle's the same way. I asked him, like, well, what do you want for your birthday? Oh, I don't need nothing, baby. I'm good. It's like, sir, I asked you a question. You know? So, but you're absolutely right. But also, one thing that you mentioned about communication. I know people always say communication is key, but it's true. Like, you can't have everything is communication. Even freaking brainwaves, you're communicating. Like, nonverbal, all of it, your body language, like, you're always communicating something. And I like to think about that, even when I think about compassion in terms of friendship, because that's something that I've always struggled with. And it came from me coming from a family where it's like family's everything. Like, I didn't really see my mom have friends. My dad definitely didn't have any friends. It was always like, when we have a gathering, you know, it's food involved, it's family, like, but that's it. So they didn't value friendships for real, you know? And then, to be honest, I never heard positive things. Like, I know I would want to invite a friend over, for instance, to, like, spend the night over. And my dad would be like, I don't want nobody over here. People steal. And and it was like, people steal? Like, what is wrong with you? So I just grew up in that type of house where it's just so many skeptical, you know, things. Can't trust nobody type stuff. So that's how I grew up. And so growing to have friendships, it was like I was so quick to write things off because I already have a preconceived notion of what a friend is. There was no trust there. So I had to force myself into a space where it's like, yo, not all these people are out to get you. And to be, like you said, compassionate, where it's like, okay, I know I'm not perfect either. Like, I may hurt your feelings and vice versa. And we have to be mature enough and have enough compassion and selflessness enough to be like, okay, you're human and I recognize that. Let's talk about this and see if we can work it out. You know, so that's something that I think about now when it comes to compassion, because I had to teach myself how to be a friend. I knew how to be a sister, a daughter. I understood the concept of loyalty. But friendship looks different, because it's not an automatic connection or like a mandate to be around this individual. You choose your friends.
That made me, that kind of took me to another place. You actually mentioned it when you introduced me, and I love that you introduced me as empathetic. Okay, and I've been purposely trying not to say that word because I can overuse the word empathetic somewhat, but it's because it applies to so much. But just hearing what you were saying, now, especially because I know we were just speaking about how to communicate, which leads to connections, like to be empathetic in order to connect with these people and express compassion, which is connecting to people and giving selflessly. You have to. And it always blows my mind because empathy is a skill. Empathy isn't just something that you're born with. You can be less empathetic and more empathetic. You can be just like, you know, I'm gonna bring up sports. You can be less athletic and you can be more athletic. That's a skill. Your sport is a skill. You can be a good writer. You could be a better writer. You could be a worse writer. You could be a terrible writer. Like, there's literally a spectrum.
There's levels.
You feel me? So there's no destination point. There's several degrees of where you can be, and being compassionate, empathetic, being able to connect with so many different, because we already know everything is unique. Like, even if, and our most perfect example of the copies is twins, even each individual twin is different. So, like, you have to know how to just, I don't want to sound crazy, but like, touch everything. Like, you have to be able to make that connection. Girl, my mind is blowing up while we're talking about this.
It gets deep. I mean, and I'm glad that you said that everybody is different, because like you said, even with twins is different. But looking at two people who grew up totally different, you know, these different backgrounds, like me, you know, people always say like, oh, well, if you come from a two-parent household, then you should date someone who comes from a two-parent household, and you should. And it's like, oh, I don't really know about that, because that doesn't determine what type of person you are. It is a factor.
Right.
However, it takes a village. So what if you had a two-parent household, but your parents are all you had? There was no grandma, no aunts, no cousins, no connectivity, you know, no social skills. That matters, you know. And dating someone who lacks social skills is very difficult to do. And it's mentally taxing.
That's a job.
It is. It's like, yo, I got to get off work and then I got to talk to you. I'm clocking out for the day. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Like, you can't do it. And it's not to say that that's impossible or that that individual can improve, but I say that to say, even though you do have to be compassionate, the boundaries have to be there. You know, observe what you need to observe from people, but remember, like, you're human too. You have to know what you're capable of handling. And you also have to know that just because you can handle something doesn't mean you should do it. I used to be notorious for that. And I have to talk myself out of things like that, especially when it came to like dating certain types of guys, like bad boys. It's like, oh, I know this is about to be fun. I know I could just tell, like, by the way he carries himself, like, what type of things we're going to be able to do. Like, I have that kind of imagination, you know, and so I can envision what the relationship is going to be like. But then it's like, yo, you know he's going to come with some BS. And you know it's going to be something that you don't want to continue on with. So when you are blessed with that discernment and that foresight, you have to be compassionate enough to yourself where you're like, I don't need to put up with that.
I like how you summed it up right there. Because that was perfectly said. Oh, you made me just think of something and it just flew from my mind. Can you tell me about that one? Oh, but just with having boundaries, girl, where was I about to go with that, having boundaries? Well, kind of what I've learned from, so I am studying to become the yoga teacher. So in the learnings, girl, it's another time. I ain't going to open that up, but yes, in my learnings of especially the background of yoga, like learning about the history and the practices of yoga, because most times when we hear yoga, we think of the physical form of yoga, but yoga is literally a mental and spiritual art form. And I'm saying that with, because one of the, and girl, I don't even want to mess up the terms I'm learning. This would be the perfect time to practice them, but I'm not about to mess up another language. But one of them is about how to give love in every situation. And this is kind of a part where I'm having, where I notice some self-conflict. Because as you're saying with boundaries, boundaries is one thing that I'm learning, because much like you, I felt like I just got myself in situations from being too compassionate and basically pouring from an empty cup.
Right.
But one of yoga's teachings is to even treat the smallest acts with love. So the way that I made it make sense for me, the way I made it make sense for me was, I thought of an example of when I was working at Dick's Sporting Goods, when athletes when those are customers, but when athletes come in and they get upset about something, mm-hmm. and your automatic reaction is going to be defensive, like, they'll be like, well, why don't y'all have this in stock? And it's like, man, we can't control that. I don't know what you're talking about. So instead of just getting defensive and reacting to make them just as upset as you feel, it would be like to express love and compassion in that moment would to think, would be to consider maybe they just suffered someone dying this morning and they are just in a negative head space and nothing has gone their way all day. And the fact that y'all are out of the stock of the one thing that they came in for, they're pissed. And instead of becoming enraged and giving back at them, if I look at that situation with love and compassion, maybe I can give them that relief because they probably expect me to snap back. But by talking to them calmly and be like, ma'am, give them several options of what they can do and, you know, just express, I understand that empathy thing. I can understand why you're upset about this. I mean, anybody would be mad if you came to a store for one thing. And it's not there.
Right.
But
then wasted your gas, your time.
So instead of being sitting there and getting in an argument with somebody because, and you could think about it on that situation later and be like, I really didn't mean to snap on them. Something was just affecting me all day where that just came out.
Right.
But you're not going to get to that point until later. But that's when you have to do it on your own. If somebody expresses a form of love and compassion in that moment, that message may come to you a little sooner. Mm-hmm. It slows your mind down. You get a time. You get a moment to think about
how you're going to respond.
Right. Like, why am I yelling at you? Like, this, the power in talking back calmly to someone that's yelling, you can literally see them come down.
Right. I love that.
It's just like,
that's contagious. And you know what? Mm-hmm. That will show you a lot. I've been working on vulnerability.
I know it, girl. You doing good. You done made some progress, I'll tell you that.
Girl, I be about to jump out my skin now. But I've been working on vulnerability. And it's so beautiful because when you're vulnerable, it forces that person to show themselves and show the real them and what their intentions are. And this is why even somebody who's pretending to be vulnerable, I hate to take it there, but I got to.
I mean, hey, it's real.
Even someone who's pretending to be vulnerable will still expose you because it's going to make you say something like either you're going to be on the defense or you're going to tell the truth, you know, about what you're experiencing. So prime example of this, if there's a man around and, you know, he just wants to get in your panties, he's not concerned with being in a relationship with you, he doesn't want to get married, none of that, right? Mm-hmm. And he comes at you with, you know, I really want to get married one day. I'll be thinking about how I want to come home while my wife cooking dinner, smack her on the butt. I want to be a good provider, play with my kids. And he says all this elaborate stuff. And it just sounds so vulnerable and authentic, right? So if you take that and you perceive it as he's BSing, you're going to be like, oh, that sounds so cool. You know, I know that one day you will have a family and probably change the subject. Boom. But that still exposes something about you. Mm-hmm. It shows either this individual is discerning and they don't believe me, or that's not really what you want. And it jumps everything off. And I know I sound like such a manipulator when I say that, but it's true. I mean, the only way to know a person's true intentions is by being real about what your intentions are, because mm-hmm. it's going to come out. And then if they're honest and they're like, you know what, I do want a family. Now he knows, like, okay, this is actually what she wants. So he can do one of two things. Either he can prey on that and continue to pretend like that's what he wants and show himself in a certain light. Or he could say, oh, nah, she's really serious. Like, let me leave her alone because I'm not looking for that right now. You know, so it sucks that we have all these different nuances and we have to, like, deal with the fact that we're dealing with another person. We don't know what the heck they're thinking or feeling, but you have to be able to trust yourself, and you cannot trust yourself if you're not being vulnerable. And I'll let you go ahead because I see your mind is like...
Well, I'm not even gonna lie. I had something that I forgot and I came back to it, so I had to focus on one thing, so I forget.
You know how my memory is.
But I'm with you. What that kind of came up my head, of course. Mm. So that makes me think of my current relationship. So I know how this gets with you, so I ain't even about to go into it. I'm gonna just pull what I want from it.
Let me address that too. Let me go ahead and address that. So where I am now, like I said, I'm always in full support of you and your decisions, you know. So I am not like, I don't even feel any type of way, anything negative about him. Okay. And to be honest, I feel this way now because I think now you've really given it some thought as to like why you want to be there. Mm-hmm. And you're growing as a person and you also see the growth in him. Whereas before, it just felt like, girl, open your eyes. Why can't you? You get what I'm saying?
But so it was very rough. No, you're being
yeah. You're it's in a true. Totally different headspace now. So mm-hmm. I trust your decision making.
Oh, thank you. That means the world to me.
Oh.
I'm not going to throw that disclaimer out ever again.
Okay.
But, oh my gosh, thank you for that. Oh, I just feel all that love just bathed me. Anyways, okay. One thing, I'm going to make this all connect, so okay. Bring it back. One thing that has, I guess, uncovered itself to me, where you said being real with yourself. I thought I was being, everyone always thinks they're being real with themselves, but mm-hmm. you have to take that time to really sit back. And even at the point where I thought I was just 100%, I took it back. I took another look. I don't know what it would take for everybody, but what happened was me and my boyfriend, we took the week apart. We were seeing each other every day, which isn't very common for us because we live in two different cities.
I need to go downstairs. Come on. So y'all were living where from each other?
We were living in two different cities.
Mm-hmm.
And so we were seeing each other daily, which is something that we aren't used to.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Which is something that we aren't used to. And for whatever and every little reason, we just started, I don't want to say arguing, but we was bumping heads just way too often. We were just bumping heads. And it was like, you know what? I was thinking it. And then I just finally came to myself and was like, I'm going to say it. Like, we just need to spend a week apart. I was just like, we're just not going to see each other. We were talking every day, but we just did not see each other. Mm-hmm. And that really gave me that opportunity to take that step back and look at myself. I had to revisit very painful places where I had to re-experience where my problem was at between us, mm-hmm. so that I could face it and get through it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to still make it all tie back together. But with that, I had to realize that I like being right. And I hate sounding selfish or like self-absorbed or whatever, but I like being right. And it's because not often am I wrong. But, and the thing is, I can see different perspectives as well, but usually I'm right. I have a very strong intuition. I'm very knowledgeable about a lot of different topics. So like, I'm smart, nothing to say the least. So I'll be thinking I'm right, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I do believe I carry myself to be an enlightened person. So, you know, and being brought up by older parents, I already have, like, I always call them old heads, but I have that wisdom in me at a young age. I was that wise young friend. But anyways, all that to say, I had to accept being checked. Like, usually I check other people and I'm right. Like, you really can't say nothing back to me because I'm right. But it was just times, and especially when it comes to being in a relationship, even when you are right, it's not about being right. It's about, like, being...
understanding.
You feel me?
Ooh.
It's not always right or wrong. So I had to learn. I had to be real with myself and say, Mira, you do like being... And he said that to me a couple times. He was like, you like being right. And I was like, what are you talking about? It's not like I don't see it from your side.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to allow him to check me, which is very, very difficult for me. Let alone it being a man, but nobody about to tell me about myself, nor like tell me what to do. Especially you're not about to tell me what to do. But it's not even about that. It's just making it work in that instance, you feel me? So all that to really say, tie back to what you said about being real with yourself. I had to realize that I was being checked and then take it.
Mm-hmm.
Which even saying that out loud is painful, girl.
Right, hurt your feelings a little bit.
Ooh, that's
you know
that's very vulnerable for me.
What's crazy about that is like when you mentioned that you liked being right or whatever at mm-hmm. dinner, at my birthday dinner, and then y'all were looking at each other like,
yeah, it's so hard for me to take it. Gosh, it is, but I'm at the point where I can say it aloud myself.
And it's, you know what, it's nothing wrong with it, because you have to remember too what spaces you were in. So you didn't just grow up with intelligent parents who were older, and you're not just brilliant, you're also a scholar. So all these years of being in school, that's mm-hmm. a necessary skill there. But when you're outside of work and outside of academia and you're with your man, you got to turn that off. Whew. Not that you have to be docile, you know, stupid, but I just had to put the, you know, people,
like, what do you mean by that, love?
No, I'm not telling her that she can't be intelligent around her man, but there's like a time and a place for everything. Yeah. You know, in the way you handle conversations. But in the classroom, you know, it's debate time. And I remember what class was that we took? I think it was with,
it has to be,
it was Human Behavior 2. Human Behavior 2.
I feel bad because I don't remember her name. Good Lord.
No, that is that's somebody different. That was Human Behavior 1. Bald head, glasses.
I know you're not talking about Dr. Williams.
Yes! Yes! So we were in Dr. Williams' class, and we would have conversations about just history. And, like, it would get real.
You went off in that class. I personally don't like history, so I was the one that was sitting back. And I sat right beside Love in class, y'all. And I'd just be so just in it. Like, she ain't here going in. I'm not going to say nothing. History just ain't my thing, but Love was going in history.
I've always been so obsessed with history, and that's how I know I was here before. Like, hello. This is not my first time being on this planet.
This is familiar.
Definitely familiar. But your toes look so pretty.
Don't they? Girl, thank you.
I love that.
Thank you.
But yes, so it's not my first time being here. I know, like, history just resonates with me so much, and I'm so passionate about it. But I've always prided myself on not having to be the woman that's on the front lines. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I like to be behind the scenes, like a Coretta, for instance.
Okay.
Where she's like, you know, they rally behind the scenes. They're not always out there marching, you know, putting mm-hmm. their bodies on the line. But right. They're using their intellect for the cause. Mm-hmm. And that's what I do with my platform. And originally, you know, like, I wanted to be a marriage counselor specifically for Black families.
I remember you saying that.
And so I feel like me being a consultant, talking about femininity and relationships between men and women, it helps me utilize that skill just in a different way. Mm-hmm. And then I'm a clinician on top of that. So, snaps. So, but yeah, I really appreciate that. So the last question I have for you.
Bring it.
When was a time that you had to utilize compassion? Like, maybe the most prominent in your life.
Prominent in my life?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, first of all, you tested my memory. Because I'll say one thing and think of something like, oh my gosh, that was it. A time of compassion in my life. I really don't want to sound cliche when I do this, but because I feel so in tune with being a compassionate person, like, I had trouble measuring it, like, as far as a more prominent time versus a less prominent time, because each time I express compassion, like, I feel it's a big impact, even in the smallest forms.
Look, you like, my love is real.
Look, because I'm not saying that, like, it's a huge expense of energy on my end, but it's a lot of meaning behind it. So, like, what can I think of this about? I don't even know. I usually speak in analogies, but I can't think of one for this one. In my head, I'm thinking of, like, if you're thinking of a stuffed animal, and when they're pumping it with the fluff or whatever, it's like, Okay, that's terrible to use. But I'm going to try to paint a picture with it. So while you're feeling the stuffed animal and you see it get bigger from a deflated state, like, that's how I feel my love comes out when I do compassionate acts. And I haven't given anything specific yet because I can mean that as little as telling someone that they dropped on a dollar on the ground when they walked by me. Mm-hmm. I can define that as compassionate because that's me expressing love. Maybe that was one of the last $6 they had while they was walking into this store. Right. Like, that dollar could have meant a lot. So when I say, like, small acts with a lot of meaning behind it, I'm thinking of the possibilities of that little thing playing a little or a big impact on their end. Mm-hmm. As far as telling somebody a dollar on the ground to letting a friend stay with me because what their toilet is down for the night. Something, I'm trying to use very minimal examples just to show.
But like, it doesn't take a lot.
It doesn't. And all the ways that compassion can be defined and expressed and received. Mm-hmm. Like, I hope, like, that I'm being broad enough so people can think of their own examples in between the ones that I'm saying to see that compassion is more than just an emotion. Mm-hmm. I think I'm almost describing compassion as an act. Matter of fact, let me look up the official definition.
That's always good. Definitions make the world go round.
First of all, I'm glad you said scholar because I'm high key a nerd. I don't know how many of y'all got the dictionary app downloaded on your phone, mm-hmm. but I use it quite often. Thank you, sweetheart. Y'all, love made me dinner. That's love right there. That's compassion.
That is definitely compassion.
So I think this is actually, girl, I'm about to wrap up your episode beautifully. Watch how I do this. So we started the episode with my definition of compassion, and now we will conclude it with the official definition.
Woo-hoo.
So compassion is defined as a noun and a verb officially. Verb is just the expression of compassion. But the noun is a feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another who is stricken by misfortune, accompanied by a strong desire to alleviate the suffering. So I don't even agree with the official definition here. Mm-hmm. Because one thing that we learned in school was the difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is not feeling bad for somebody. Mm-mm. So I don't agree with the official definition of compassion because I believe in empathy, and I don't even connect to the word sympathy because I don't want to feel sorry for someone. You feeling mm-hmm. sorry for someone does not do anything for them.
It does not, especially as a, you know, being in the social work space, you have to be in a position where you can empower a person mm-hmm. so you can understand their emotions and where they're coming from, mm-hmm. but also you have to be in a state where you're objective enough to help empower them, help them see the bigger picture, you know, show them different gateways that they can take to get out of their situation. Because right. a lot of people you meet, and this is even the most, you know, creative and, you know, open individuals, their mind can be in a box, you know.
Or a dark place.
Exactly. And sometimes you just don't know what you don't know until you find out.
Hello.
You know, so I love that definition. And I like that you shared that you didn't agree with it. So just to show you, Mira is always the one that plays devil's advocate, but she's not playing though. She's really the devil's advocate.
And you know it. I literally, even if I don't agree with it, me, you, and Yaya would be talking about something. I don't even agree with the opinion I'm throwing out there. I'm just like, but in this case.
Gotta look at it from the other side.
I mean,
you would be a great attorney.
Could I?
Heck yes.
I don't argue, though. Well, I debate, but I don't argue.
Because it's like, okay, they could see it this way, but then you could be like, well, what if he was scared? What if this? Like, really all those possibilities, mind. You mm-hmm. could frame a certain possibility and just stand on that. Ooh. You would be a dope lawyer. And I know that because I was always told that I would be a really good attorney just because mm-hmm. of my, like, attention to detail, and I'm very relentless when it comes to, like, winning.
Yes, you are.
Like, you are coming against moi? What is this, you know? So I'm like, I know a good attorney when I see one.
Ooh, but I love how you frame that for me, because never in a million years would I have thought of myself going into law. That field at all. Yeah, I don't connect with history, law. And the one I remember, I feel bad because I don't remember his name. Oh, it was Dr. Valentine, Mr. Valentine. Mm-hmm. That was his name, right? Light-skinned.
Professor. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Professor Valentine. What did he say? He was like, a lot of y'all will say y'all don't like law, but social work is law. We have to know the state, local, federal, all of these policies so that we can know how to best navigate in order to help somebody in whatever circumstances they have.
Absolutely. And I would even add to that, when it comes to being able to advocate for yourself, you have to know what your rights are. Mm-hmm. I can see several situations where if I didn't know my rights, I would have been fucked up, you know? And I see other people who are in situations, they don't know their rights and they are fucked up, you know?
Yeah, not even that would be me. I have to even, I talk like I'm old. Mm-hmm. 20, girl, 30 is like, anyway. But, oh, girl, I forgot what I was about. But even at my age now, I'm still learning law. Like, this is very new, and it's just hard for me to just absorb and take in and abide by. Because, I mean, if we go into being an Aquarius or just the person I am, I'm very free-spirited. I hate feeling bound. So even operating within laws, that's probably one of my biggest difficulties in social work. Because I'm going to give you a perfect example. I'm going to try to make it short, too. I visited one of my clients today, and she went, and I was there. It was my client, the direct service worker. I'll just abbreviate that to DSW now that I said it, and myself. So we were all meeting, and at the conclusion of our meeting, she was trying to give the DSW a lighter. She was just like, oh, I want you to have this, this, and the third. And the DSW was like, I really can't accept gifts. I understand what you're trying, like, that you just want to give it to me or that you want to show appreciation, but due to a conflict event, he defined it beautifully and he gave it to her just like that. Boom. And did it in the presence of me. So of course, like, all right, you looking good. Yeah. But I can tell it was definitely a part of his character. Mm-hmm. I forgot where I was going with this, but, like, girl, I really forgot where I was going with this.
Was it having something to do with just the laws within social
work? Oh, yes. Because in my head, I wanted to tell him, like, bro, you can take the letter. It's really not a problem. She just wants to show you. She just wants to show you, like, you can have this. It's cool, whatever. And, of course, I acknowledge all of the negative things that come behind that. Like, she could later on to say, like, I gave you a lighter. Why can't you X, Y, Z? Something as simple as that. So I know the reason behind it. And I know that it should be practiced and why it should be practiced and all that. But I don't see the harm in it. Just as personally, I don't think that's a problem.
Right.
It's not a problem. But morally, it's not wrong. But ethically, it's wrong.
Absolutely.
We did something like that in class.
Moral versus ethical. That was like the biggest debate. I mean, everybody, like, you bring in religion, you bring in politics, because there's so many angles to look at it. And it's difficult, to be honest. I mean, when you're in the field, you got to make a quick decision, you know.
And you have a lot to take in.
Yes, and in addition to it, just like you said, these policies are related to that. Mm-hmm. I know there's been clients in the past who needed assistance with, like, their rent and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. But for a lot of programs with rental assistance, you have to have an eviction notice. Mm-hmm. So this person knows they're not going to be able to pay their rent next month. But because they don't have an eviction notice and months of backed rent, they can't get help.
Right.
Like, this stuff is crazy.
Gosh.
And then people, like, end up in these crisis situations where it's like, yo, it could have been prevented. Like, they called you 3 months ago.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's tough, but I love it. I wouldn't trade this for anything.
I tell you, social work is not for the weak. We seem soft.
Listen.
People think of social worker, first of all, they always think of child protective services.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are being made aware of the broadness and the versatility of social work. I have so many young people now that they tell me, oh, I want to work with people from domestic violence situations. I want to work with people that have problems with drugs. Little do they know, they're talking about substance abuse and, you know, domestic violence. And I'm like, social work. Just be a little Jimmy.
Right.
And I was like, you're saying everything that we can do. And it's, from counseling to organizing community events to teaching to being an evaluator of a certain girl.
It's broad. Oh, and you'll never. One thing I can tell y'all, and then we'll go ahead and close it because we can talk about this forever.
You're right.
Look, this is exciting to us.
Social workers.
Exactly. But it's like, you'll never not have a job if you want a job in this field. It's so much. You might not be able to do something that you want to do in that moment. Because, of course, you might want to go into a modality where there's just not a lot of people hiring for that. But there's always a job in social work somewhere. It's one of those fields where they always need people, especially when you get that license and you start adding more credentials to your last name. Like, ever since I became licensed, like, doors just, they open, and they pay you.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my
God. LCSWs, girl, I'm like, 2 years.
Listen.
My reality will be so different.
So different. And that's the only thing. I'm like, God knows. The only thing keeping me holding on right now is the fact that I went through so much to get here. Because right now it's like, I can't give this up. I want to fall back. Sometimes I do. Because it's like, yo, this is stressful. When I could just have like a regular 9-to-5, get paid, you know, clock in on Monday, go home on Friday, and my weekends are to myself. You know, like, you technically have that now, but your weekends are really your time to decompress. Because if you don't leave that shit at work, you will be crazy.
As a social,
and I don't want to use the C word, but for lack of better terms,
no, I'm crazy.
You will lose your
strung
mind.
Strung out.
Hurt. Right.
Fill in the blank. Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotta decompress. Gotta be able to practice that self-care. And ever since I started this new job, because now I'm in CST, which is a higher level of care. You see a lot of, it's deep. Like, these people have deep trauma, chronic type of illnesses, even physically, on top of their mental health. So they have a lot of stuff going on, and it's a lot to take in. So I had to reinstate my self-care day. For a long time, I would just have my self-care like embedded in the week. But it got to the point where I had to start my self-care day again. Like, self-love Sunday is the day. And the other week, my boyfriend was like, babe, why can't we hang out on Sunday? Like, we had hung out all day Saturday. And he's like, well, what if I just come over at night then? And I really had to tell him no. Like, I can't, I don't want to be around nobody. Like, I need this time. So, going back to boundaries, I do have compassion for the kid. I love the kid, but I can't. I got to make sure I'm looking out for me first. And that just makes me better for everybody else. So, I love you so much.
I love you more.
I really appreciate you for coming. I hope y'all enjoyed this episode on compassion. And like I said, I'm doing this series because I know people are taught different things about what compassion and what love look like. And I just really need for y'all to understand that you really define it for yourself. Everyone's definition is going to look different. But if you've never heard of these terms before, if you've never even considered what the definition of compassion looks like, even in a practical way, this is going to introduce that to you. So peace and love. Stay tuned for the next episode on the podcast, Hanging Out with Love. And have a good evening. Peace.